What is the Trinity? It's not mentioned in the Bible. In fact, it's not actually mentioned formally until the 4th century. St. Augustine wrote 15 volumes on the Trinity and concluded that if we understood it, then we didn't understand God. Yet we talk about it. It's in the Creed, and we sing about it in many hymns. It was easy in the Old Testament. There was God. There was one God, and he created the earth and everything on it, and his breath, the Spirit of the Lord, brought life to the world. God was clear about things. The God of the Israelites was the one true God, and everyone knew that God was God. After Eden, God was not seen on earth, but appeared to Moses in the flaming bush and uttered the famous phrase, or the famous lines of Exodus chapter 3. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am, has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." Then Jesus came and changed everything. Initially, he was thought of as the Messiah, the Christ. But Jesus taught of the Son of Man. And in Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The disciples saw this, but did not really understand at the time. Jesus also called himself I Am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the vine. I am the resurrection. But again, it was only after Jesus' death and resurrection that the disciples began to understand Jesus' teachings, and that there was more to Jesus than they could possibly have imagined. The first inklings came from Thomas, where he met Jesus in the room when he appeared for the second time to the disciples. And when Jesus appeared, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." This culminates in John's Gospel, which is the last one written, where he states that Jesus is God and was present from the creation of time, which can be found right at the start of John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." It was in Jesus' life that the idea of the Holy Spirit as a separate entity appears, most notably at Jesus' baptism, when it descended as a dove. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within his disciples, and at the coming of when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples at Pentecost with its ability to empower, to motivate, and to train the disciples, they began to realize that the Holy Spirit was an entity on its own. The problem for the early Christians, however, was how did this all fit in with there being one God? The Bible taught that Christians were to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It also taught Christians that they would only worship one God. And finally, they were taught that there only was one God. So as Christians, we must worship only God. We must worship God the Father. We must worship God the Son. And we must worship God the Holy Spirit. And there is only one God. So how do we square the circle? And what significance does the Trinity have in our lives, in my life? Firstly, the Trinity means that we have to worship only one God, as Moses had done in Exodus. And this means that, for instance, we cannot play off God the Father against God the Son by saying God the Father is uncaring and God and Jesus is the caring God. It is one God. Secondly, Jesus and the Spirit are equal to the Father. But Jesus is portrayed as the Son of God and would sit at God's right hand. How does this square? Well, to understand this, my first thoughts came with Barack Obama. Barack Obama is probably the most powerful man on earth. However, he is no more human than any of the rest of us here. We have put Barack Obama above everybody else. And in the same way, Jesus has gone the other way. Instead of being the same level as God, he has intentionally lowered himself to become human. And by doing so, he was able to lay down his life so that we, as people of God, could be saved from our sins. And importantly, because of this, with Jesus being God, then God personally suffered on our behalf the agony of the nails and the cross. The New Testament shows various forms of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it shows a great relationship between the three forms of God, that they loved and cared for each other intimately. And as we are made in God's image, that means we must remember that we were made to love, not to hate. And finally, as the Holy Spirit is part of God and has been present on the earth since creation, then God has never left us. Even in our darkest moments, we just have a bad habit of forgetting he is there or listening to him. Christians have always struggled with how to describe the Trinity and have come up with various images over the years. Three of them are on the screen here. A cricket ball, or for our American cousins, you could probably use a baseball. Water molecule and an egg. All three of these are actually slightly flawed in their understanding of what the Trinity is. So if we start off with a cricket ball, when it's bowled, it can go straight on, it can go left, or it can go right. So doing representing the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. But there's only one ball, and therefore it falls down on that front, because there's only the one ball that can move in each direction, whilst we believe that all three exist at the same time. The next choice is water. Water can be steam, water, or ice. But again, whilst all three can, as in this picture, exist at the same time, we generally will only think of one or at the most two at any one time, and therefore it falls down on that front. And finally, the egg. The egg has three entities. You've got the shell, the white, and the yolk. But the concentric rings, they're not equal parts. And so, although possibly the closest to being able to understand the Trinity as a whole, doesn't quite get there. This image, however, I think fully encapsulates what the Trinity is. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father, however, is in the Holy Spirit. The Father glorifies the Holy Spirit, but he is not the Holy Spirit. And then likewise, the Holy Spirit is in Jesus. He glorifies Jesus, but he is not Jesus. And then Jesus is in God, glorifies God, but is not God. And this triangular image of God, where all three parts are of equal importance, should resonate in our lives, because as Christians, as Christians, we should be living a triangular life in the same way as the three parts of the Trinity, all of equal importance. We should be looking inwards to our Christian family. We should be looking outwards to the wider community, and we should be looking upwards to God. And if we can remember the three parts of the Trinity, that will hopefully remind us to live our lives in the triangular form of the Trinity. And finally, in this church, we have a tendency to stand up and say the grace to each other. And I thought it would be a nice way to finish off, as the grace encompasses the Trinity, if we should all stand and say the grace together to each other.